Change. Quite possibly the most controversial concept in the world of languages. It's a topic we love to hate. We understand its significance, we value its applicability, we long for its results, we appreciate its merits, but we despise its process and we resent its demands. Whether it's in our personal life, our interpersonal relational dynamics, on our jobs, or in our businesses, whether it's with our spouses, our significant others, our children, our families, our colleagues, our friends, the notion of change can be quite intrusive. Most remarkable of its qualities is that it's loud, it is constant, and no matter the delay, it will not and cannot be ignored. At some point in time, we will have to respond to its knock. Welcome to this Sunday segment of the Building According to Pattern podcast series with your host, yours truly, Georgia A. Bryce. So great of you to join me again. Yes, you have tuned into the best podcast on the planet, and I want you to stake your claim early in the game by being fully engaged in the unfolding of something extraordinary. We're definitely going places, and I hope you can see what I see. If you're a first-time listener, you made it just in time. An extra, extra special welcome to you. Here is how you can experience the best of the Building According to Pattern podcast series. As soon as you get through listening to this segment, go to my podcast page at batplc.podbean.com. There you're going to find a list of archived messages from as far back as September of 2013. I guarantee that you will find some information of value that will be very, it might be the very answer or the solution to the dilemma that you're currently faced with, or the direction and insight you're going to need regarding the major decisions that you need to make in your life currently. Trust me when I say you did not just stumble upon this podcast by accident. Your steps were navigated to this message. I pray that it would. My loyal listeners, it goes without saying that without you, success would be elusive for me. So thank you as always. So last segment, I spoke at length on a topic that I know beyond the shadow of a doubt was quite relevant and applicable to a lot of you, the listeners. Abandoning your poor inheritance to create a new legacy. It came from a deep and very personal place for me, and I had absolutely no regrets putting myself out there, so to speak, in the manner in which I did. I personally believe that exposure does a lot of things, including initiating or activating the healing process. One of my listeners actually shared with me that she took my advice to confront some of her past concerns, and she started journaling the process of healing, making sure that the application of the Word of God was central to her experience, and that so far, chains have started falling off. On this segment, I want to take some more time to expand on what we started last week. It was not my intention to do this, but an interesting exchange I had with a classmate of mine regarding the whole idea of confronting one's history precipitated this decision for me. So today's topic: the three-dimensional shift needed to advance real change. Let me first provide you with two important definitions. Number one, the word confront. It means to face up to and deal with a problem or difficult situation. To address, face, come to grips with, to deal with something in an honest and direct way. To grapple with a problem or difficulty that presents itself so that dealing with it cannot be avoided. To deal with something very difficult or unpleasant in a brave and determined way. The Hebrew word for the word confront is nagad, Nagad, and it means to acknowledge or confess. The second word I want you to pay attention to is the word change. It means to make different or alter in some particular way. To give a different position, course, or direction to. To make a shift from one to another. To lay aside, abandon, or leave for another. are to make radically different. Now, I want you to bear those two words in mind as you listen to this segment, and I want you to consider their implications to your own personal life. I believe we are at an optimal point in the year. It's the beginning of it's the first month, being the first month. And we all have what I believe is an extraordinary opportunity to do something new and even different that has the capacity to set the tone for the rest of this year and quite possibly the rest of our lives. That reality, however, might for many of us require and even demand confronting some past and even current issues where we have been grappling with for a while. No one knows your story as well as you do. Hence, you are the only person who knows what level of honesty and integrity that you must be willing to foster in your own life that will make the necessary changes possible. What it is going to take for you to lay aside or abandon the things that inhibit your growth in every area of your life. What is preventing you at this point in time from making a radical shift? You owe it to yourself to give yourself room to evolve and become your best self yet, the person you were designed and created to be. It's going to demand confrontation and change, possibly the two hardest things you will ever have to do in this life. Now, I want to take this time to share a recorded story from your manual, which is the Word of God, that will give deep and helpful insights into how real change is initiated and sustained. The key to reading your manual, which I've shared on several occasions, is to look for principles detailed. If you read the Word of God from a religious perspective, you will not get the benefits or experience the life that is contained in it. You must look for the principles, the patterns, and the practices that are applicable to your life. Only then will you begin to truly experience success at the level your master manufacturer designed for you to operate at. The story I'm referencing is detailed in the book of Beginnings. That's the book of Genesis chapter 32. And to get a full understanding of the context from which I will be sharing, it is imperative that you take some time to read your manual. And I would suggest that you start back at Genesis chapter 24. Of course, for the sake of time, I will provide a quick synopsis of the storyline. As recorded in the book of Genesis, just starting from chapter 24, working myself up to chapter 32, both Abraham and his wife Sarah had a son in his old age called Isaac. Now, before his death, Abraham had his servant return to his family of origin in the land of Haran to find a wife for his son. The servant, under the orchestration of God, was able to locate his master's family and subsequently return to his master with a young woman, Rebecca, who would become Isaac's new wife. In time to come, both Isaac and Rebecca gave birth to twin boys, Esau being the firstborn and Jacob his younger brother. Both were completely different from each other. Esau was his father's favorite, and Jacob was a mama's boy. One other thing that you should note about Jacob was that he was very deceptive, somewhat of a con artist, or what we would call in our times, slick. On one occasion, when Esau returned from hunting, he was feeling extremely hungry. And it just so happened that Jacob was cooking a meal, and Esau asked him for some of what he was preparing. Jacob agreed, but not before getting Esau to agree to give up his birthright or the right to his father's blessing to the firstborn. In time, this impulsive decision on Esau's behalf would come back to haunt him in a devastating way, similar to the impact our impulsive decision-making has on us. If only Esau knew the value of what he was giving away for a simple bowl of food. Fast forward years later, Isaac was now in his old age and, as was customary in that culture, was ready to pass on his blessing, the birthright, to his firstborn. This was a very special practice which had significant implications. A fatherly blessing had the capacity to catapult his offsprings, particularly the firstborn, into major blessings of success and prosperity. With the help of his mother, Jacob was again able to deceive his father into giving him something that rightly belonged to his brother. And by the time Esau got wind of what happened, it was too late. He vowed that he would not rest until he killed his brother Jacob. And consequently, Jacob had to run away from home, making it to his mother's family back in Haran. There he spent approximately 20 years of his life working for his uncle Laban. And true to form, his father's blessing was activated in his life and he became extremely wealthy, having 11 sons, 2 wives, 2 concubines, servants, and endless amounts of livestock. Life could not get any better for him. Not until God told him that it was time for him to return to his home country and his uncle started acting funny towards him. Jacob was caught in a dilemma. How could he return home knowing that there was unsettled business awaiting him and a possible bounty on his head, even though all this time had passed? He made the decision to return, knowing what was facing him, and as he journeyed towards home, he got word that his brother was heading in his direction with about 400 men. Something was about to go down. There was no turning back or running away. Jacob had no choice. The moment he was dreading all his life was staring him in the face, and he had no choice but to confront it. As recorded in chapter 32, Jacob was distressed and greatly afraid. He decided to send gifts with his men ahead of him to present it to his brother with the hope of appeasing Esau in the event that Esau was still angry with him. He also made the decision to split his family into 2 groups, placing his concubines with their sons ahead of his wives and their sons. The rationale was, if one group was killed by Esau and his men, at least the other would probably stand a chance of surviving. The Bible said he sent them ahead of him and remained by himself. And the story of what unfolded at this point was quite profound. He had an extraordinary encounter with himself and with God. Now, I hope I made it exciting enough for you to go read the account for yourself to see how everything unfolded. But at this moment, using this particular plot, I want to talk about the 3-dimensional shift that you will have to experience if real change is ever going to occur in your life. For real change to begin, for a shift to occur in your life, confrontation is an absolute necessity. In the process, you will have to confront your experiences with others. You will have to confront yourself. And you most certainly will have to confront where you stand in relation to your master manufacturer, God Almighty. 3 necessary dimensions. Let's learn from Jacob. The first thing I wanted to point out to you is this. We first noted Jacob's resolve to confront his past, and it was marked by a posture of humility. He had no idea what was going to happen when he finally encountered his brother. So he assumed a place of humility. Sometimes it will require you to humble yourself to bring resolution to the past. That humility does something for you that you cannot manufacture on your own. It activates the grace of God. It is the grace that makes the process easy and bearable. And it is grace that will give you the courage and strength to confront what you are greatly afraid of. The second thing I want you to pay attention to is this. We note Jacob's complete dependence on God. He became a broken man. He knew that without God's help, his mercy and protection, there was no guarantee that he and his family and servants were going to survive this pending ordeal with his brother. And so we see him earnestly crying out to God for help and for deliverance from the transgressions and the consequences of his past. For you, it might be deliverance from an experience you may have been subjected to innocently and involuntarily. But the principle remains the same if deliverance is to take place. Your manual states clearly in the book of Psalm 51, verse 17, that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Along with faith, this is what moves the heart of God to work in your favor every time. The third thing I want to point out is this. We see Jacob's wisdom in strategizing on how to face what was before him. There is always a most effective way to bring about a resolution that will activate change. That wisdom comes from your master manufacturer, but you must ask him for it. From verses 24 through verse 31, we note that Jacob was left alone, and during this period of aloneness, Jacob had to come face to face with who he really was and who he was in relation to God. The Bible said he found himself wrestling with a man who was really an angel of the Lord or a representative of God. Jacob wrestled all night and refused to let the angel go until he blessed him. He was desperate and persistent, a place that you and I must come to if we're ever going to be free to experience real change. The angel asked Jacob a very strange question at his request for a blessing. He asked Jacob, "What is your name?" Now, our automatic response to such a question from an English narrative would be to simply state our names. But this was more than just Jacob being asked to give his name. The implication of this question when read in the Hebrew context was really a question of what Jacob was known for, his character or reputation. When he responded, "Jacob," he was essentially admitting or confessing to who he really was, a supplanter, trickster, schemer, swindler. Maybe for the first time in his life, Jacob was forced to confront himself and admit to who he really was. The blessing could not be pronounced over his life until he was ready to be honest, until he was ready to get real. The moment he did, the angel gave him a new name, Israel. A change in name signified a change in his character and his nature. From a deceiver to a prince. And after his name change, the angel of the Lord blessed him. In blessing him, his essence as prince was invoked, called forth, or activated. Not only was he given a name change, he was given the capacity to manifest the new him. My favorite part of this text is verse 31, where it says that as he passed over Penuel, the place where he finally came face to face with himself and his master manufacturer, the sun rose upon him. This signified a new day, a new era, a new beginning. The principles and patterns detailed in this chapter are just as relevant and applicable to our lives today as it was for the people of that time. And I believe with all my heart that God is standing by ready to free you from all the constraints of your past and even your present. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for real change? If you are, then it must be done within the construct of this three dimension: others, self, and God. This is God's way. If there is unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, pain, anything that involves others, you must be willing to face these truths and release them. If there are areas in your life where you are not living or functioning at optimal capacity, possibly because you're compromising the standards by which God has designed you to live your life by, you must be willing to admit this and change. If your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, He is waiting on you to come into alignment. Only then will your new day begin. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time, for this moment. I thank you, Lord God, that it is necessary for us to confront who we are in relation to you, and who we are in relation to others. And if we want change to occur, that is going to be necessary. I pray, just like Jacob, who exhibited humility and total dependence on you and brokenness, that Father God, we're going to find ourselves in that place so that the grace that you have that will help us through the process of confronting those things that are most difficult and trying in our lives, Lord God, we will have that grace, the wisdom that we need to confront those circumstances and even confront people. We thank you, Lord God, that we have access to that wisdom that you give. And we ask you for your help in this process of change. Change is never easy, Lord, but it is necessary. If we're going to come into the people that you've called us to be, the people that you've created us to be, Lord God, we know that we can't stay as we are. You're not going to let us stay as we are. So I pray that you'll give us the courage from this moment on to confront who we are and where we are, to look at our past, and Father God, make the decision to make the changes that we need to get us into the place where you've designed for us to be. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your help. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you, as always, for tuning in to this segment of the podcast. And I hope that you were blessed and challenged by today's discussion. But most importantly, I pray that you will recognize those areas in your life where you need to make some changes and that you are ready to do so. Listen to this segment again, and maybe again, and visit the podcast page to hear the other messages. You might be surprised to discover something new that you may not have heard the first time around. Believe it or not, I make a regular habit to listen to my own messages on a weekly basis. For that address again is batplc.podbean.com. I am still waiting to hear from you. Please drop me a note or something. Let me know whether these messages are impacting you in any way. That will definitely serve as a source of encouragement to me. So I welcome your comments, your questions, and even your prayer requests. And you can reach me at my email address. That is info at buildingaccordingtopattern.com. That's one complete word. I also want to let you know that I am working diligently to get my website up and running so that you can have access to the written podcast information in blog form for those people who like the written information. And I will let you know as soon as this is complete. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask you to check out my Facebook page at Building According to Pattern and my YouTube channel at Building According to Pattern LLC. And when you do, please like my page and please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Hey, I'll be back next week Sunday. As always, this is Georgia Bryce tuning out. Until then, be blessed, stay blessed, and take care. Bye.